Thanks to La Pazzo Pizza Boys. Welcome to the official podcast of Oz FIFA. Alongside me, we have JT and Aidensky. How are we, boys?
Good, mate. Good, Spenny. Good to be back doing the official Oz FIFA podcast once again by the side of you two gorgeous-looking blokes.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's good to be back doing another one. It's long overdue.
Yeah, casually been about 3 or 4 months. Obviously, by popular demand, so many people posting on the forums and stuff asking for us to come back, which is, of course, no one. But we're going to do one anyways because there's a lot to talk about, especially none more so than the big PS4 final last week. El Diablo, undefeated, fantastic season by them, facing against the Generals. And was definitely not just the match that everyone thought about. There was a lot of talking points. And it ended up with the Generals winning 2-1, a famous goal in the third game, and certainly a couple of debate points, guys.
Yeah, it was controversial, to say the least. Obviously, there was two sides to the whole debate after the game. I'm not sure if you guys saw the winning goal. The AI goalkeeper essentially passed it straight to Toxic, who was clean through on goal and scored. A lot of debate between, Carney, Blind Duality, Azar, a lot saying, that the match should be restarted or whatever. And obviously the Generals weren't too keen on that idea. But, look, at the end of the day, Spenny and JT, it was a case of Generals took their two chances that they had, and Diablo went undefeated all season but didn't go undefeated in the grand final.
Yeah, just backing that up, it's a pretty good season by both teams, obviously, first and second on the ladder at the end of the normal season. El Diablo to go undefeated, it's pretty incredible effort. Generals, they've always been like a really good attacking team, so I knew coming into the final they're going to be a good shot. I'll admit I didn't actually get to see the final, but I did see the winning goal. Very unlucky, obviously, with the AI goalkeeper doing what they did, but I know there's a lot of causes. As Adansky said, there was a lot of calls for rematch or the goal not to be counted, which thankfully karma has prevailed because at the end of the day, it's happened to a lot of teams throughout the season. I know it's happened to Windrow at different stages and everybody goes through. It's just a shame that it happened when it did. But you can't take any away from El Diablo. They had a great season, but Generals, they just got the job done in the end. So well done to them.
Yeah, too good, Matt. Especially in the sense that both teams were certainly pioneering that whole league for, the past 2 months or so. And it was a fair matchup in the sense that both of those teams obviously had such a good performance season in, but it was El Diablo in the regular season who really did send it to the Generals, and pretty much the whole fact of them not losing really put them up on this pedestal. And you almost felt like the Generals were going to get that upset, especially how they equalized in that second game after El Diablo clearly dominated and arguably probably should have finished that one off in the first shorts.
Yeah, they had numerous chances in the first game, absolutely. I think they'll be kicking themselves. There was only a 1-0 scoreline at the end of the first. Obviously, as it turned out, Generals won the next 2-1-0 in both games. So, look, it could have been 3, possibly even 4. But, like I said, the Generals were the team that took their chances at the end of the day. And Diablo, it's almost like an old cliche saying that a lot of the time when a team goes undefeated throughout the regular season, you almost expect them to lose in the finals because they haven't experienced, games where they've lost or they don't know how to close it out and stuff like that. But, to Generals' credit, they defended well. In game 2, they were the better team. In game 3, it was pretty even. As it turned out, the goal that separated it was unfortunate, but that's football, and like JT said, Winners had it at least once this season. We've had it at Elite 11 at least once or twice this season where we've just had EA aids basically, but that's FIFA. It's not real life football. You just have to adjust, and well done to Generals. It was a famous win for them against all odds.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Especially in the sense that the game was so close and really was just that sort of both teams really topping the league and it was just fantastic, and it should have been all about that match. It really seemed to not be. There was just so much other stuff going on. The fact of, you know, unfortunate for Joggles, who was the fullback in that case, moving away from the ball. You could argue there's some debate points on whether he should stay there or not, but definitely in the way we'd always call it, an AIDS goal. Really did bring up a lot of debate points, and the forums were just absolutely insane. We've got, you know, like, we've got Dave just buying in on the rant. It was referred to as classless, the fact, like, even to the point that there was actually rematches being asked by people. They legitimately wanted rematches and thought that it wasn't fair by the Generals.
It's ridiculous.
What do you think on that, JT?
Thankfully, it didn't last too long. It was sort of straight after it. There was a, you know, I will admit, most of El Diablo were pretty good about it. They decided to accept it straight off the bat. But there was obviously a couple in El Diablo and also surprisingly quite a few outside of El Diablo calling for rematches and whatnot. I think it was just the heat of the moment sort of thing. Sort of as the sort of next couple of days went on, I think everyone sort of accepted that it is part of what you call EA AIDS. And yeah, thankfully Carney and the admins decided not to enforce a rematch or anything like that. And I think it was the right decision in the end, obviously.
Yep. With the big debate, and we'll talk about it more, the 5v5 format, which has been brought up by Carney and co. Do you think this grand final has a massive effect on what will happen on 5v5? Do you reckon this benefits the idea of 5v5 even more so, and, you know, the option of it any, George?
Well, the funny thing is, with this season of AVPL, I'm not sure if it was with previous AVPLs, if you fielded seven or more players, you were given the option of using an any. So in my opinion, both El Diablo and Generals probably should have been using an any as it is. It certainly would make it the situation that was on last Sunday or last Monday, whatever it was, avoidable. But I think the concept, the 5v5 concept with the Ennies, it's certainly going to cancel out a lot of that sort of stuff. Well, it's almost going to completely remove, you know, the sort of AIDS-y aspect in what the AIs do. Not always with what FIFA does. Obviously, players can stuff up here and there and it be an AIDS-y sort of thing to happen. But I think it's going to be good. I think the Ennies, like, I mean, I've sat on Twitch streams where we've versed or we've been watching AVPL games, and people from other countries who play in different leagues often come across and just laugh at us because we're not using an Ennie. It just goes to show how much of, like, a big thing an Ennie is around the world in FIFA. So I think it's going to be a really important thing to that. You know, it's a stepping stone in the right direction. Obviously, we want to keep improving, and if Ennies help, you know, kind of sponsor the league or make it better for potential people looking to invest or sponsor it, then it needs to be done. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we get a lot less controversy in each match.
Yeah, definitely, Matt. Before I ask your thoughts on this, JT, really was, like, the way people carry themselves after results, or, you know, in adversity, especially after a defeat, is something I really look to see how people respond and that sort of thing. The way Fletch, this is a kid from Xbox, really young kid, very, very talented player, coming over there from Xbox onto that side, and, you know, he may have seemed like he had a bit of an ego and stuff like that, and be like that sort of attitude, sort of young kid, as you'd expect. But the way he carried himself after a defeat like that, in that sort of magnitude, after that sort of season, it really does speak character of him. Even to the point where he's literally disciplining people in his team, telling them to shut the fuck up on a forum. Excusing my language for that point, but it really was. It did speak volumes of his discipline, and a really good way to look at it, Jesse.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. He wasn't the only one either. There was quite a few in their team who were very much telling their teammates, look, this is what happens, we accept it, we move on, you know, it's been a great season, and come back next season and try and have another great season. And I think George hit the nail on the head as well with the any. They did have the option to use an any, and when you're playing with 11 players, it's always good to have that as a backup, because you never know if you're going to lose a player or a couple of players or something, and if it's important players and you're relying back on the AI again, I think it's a lesson learned for all teams going forward, I think, for future APLs. If you're playing with big numbers, I think it's best to use an any.
Yeah, and in my opinion, I think as very AIDS-y as that situation was, I think the fullback has to not run away from that ball.
Exactly.
When you have that goalkeeper, and you can tell that the goalkeeper's about to do something, it could be really shitty or just really AIDS-y. you need to be there. You can't run away from that sort of ball. That's not going to really affect it. And I get that it's easier to say that in hindsight when you're not in that game situation, but I think, you know, stuff like that definitely has to be game management, especially when it's so late and, you know, you send that one into a different game. But onto the Xbox, we'll give this one a brief review because as big as PlayStation is, this one definitely needs some recognition. Claudio 9 and Lamazia did face off in the final. I was, of course, member of the losing side on this occasion with Lamazia completing the treble. So three times in a row, unbelievable effort from those boys. 3-2 it was on aggregate. Penalty deciding it in the second leg really does. It is quite frustrating to lose. I'm definitely not stoked about it, but you can really understand how great this team really is. And to just keep players like that and to go, you know, a year and a half with so many other new teams coming in, it's whether it's on Xbox or PlayStation, I consider it one of the most impressive claims that there is on this side, boys.
Well, I'm a bit sort of intrigued by La Masia. Obviously, they're making that change over to PlayStation 4 for the upcoming AVPL
Leaking season. Some info, are we?
Well, they are.
Is it breaking news? Okay.
No, they are. Oh. They've confirmed it about 2 weeks ago, I think it was. They've confirmed they're coming over. What I'm intrigued about by them is they play a 4-3-3, which is not really a common formation among, you know, AVPL clubs and just any clubs in general. There's a lot opt to play the 4-4-2 narrow, which I think your mob played as well, Spence, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right.
So you'd probably find about, you know, 70-75% of clubs play that 4-1-2-1-2 now. But La Masia play a 4-3-3, and if you've got the options of Lama and Jay out wide, Jay Nino, Linny, Emery obviously at the point of that attack, like, it's a pretty formidable lineup. But if they can translate that 4-3-3 and that entire squad onto PlayStation, you'd think they'd probably go all the way as well. But I'm looking at the stats now against your mob, Spence. Luke made 10 saves in goal, so must have had a pretty big couple of games for La Masia. I did watch one of the games. I'm not too sure. I think it was the game Emery scored in. And like he's a class striker. He's one of the best strikers I've seen play the game, and you know, I think his stats kind of back him up in that regard as well. So unlucky for your mob, Spence. Obviously you disconnected in the second game, so it would have been nice for you guys to get to a third and make a bigger contribution. But you did make six tackles to get an assist, so you can't be too disheartened by it.
It's all about the team result, and it's really important to focus on the team aspect of it, because I think being on the Xbox side especially, and you know, albeit PlayStation is the console to talk about. It's got more numbers. It's got more everything. It's got more agendas. It's got more fights. It's, you know, it is the console to talk about. But I think you really need to not disregard teams like La Masia and these teams, because as much as there is a lot of depth in numbers, it seems in PlayStation you would find, you know, your 20 to 22 really legitimate sides who can potentially beat anyone or, you know, get points against anyone. There's a lot of quality players, whereas on the Xbox side, it really does seem, you know, your top five or six teams, there is a really clear, you know, just difference in personnel and tactical awareness and just general skill. And to have teams like La Masia, you know, a lot of people in the forums just disregard teams on Xbox and they'd say, oh, you know, they're not going to make it. In the situation of El Diablo, obviously, you know, players like, you know, there's a lot of quality players in El Diablo who just came in and you know, Aaron's, you know, Raheem's and all that sort of thing. But do you think El Diablo having the unbeaten season makes PlayStation players maybe think a little bit different about Xbox skills, JT?
It's a good question. I mean, I know on the forums there's always been a lot of, you know, PlayStation versus Xbox, who's better, you know, PlayStation say they're better, Xbox say they're better and all that sort of stuff. But I think for the most part on the PlayStation side, I think they've actually pretty well respected how good some of those Xbox players have been. Sort of like you go back, it's only sort of, you know, go back a year or two when it was Xbox was the premier console when it came to clubs. And that's where most of the, not all of them, but most of the good players were. So I think there has been that respect there. And I don't think there's been, I think there's probably been a bit of surprise just how well El Diablo did. I don't think anyone would have expected an undefeated season, but I don't think there was too much surprise that they did well. I think in the preseason predictions, there's a lot of people predicting them to do, you know, to make the final or finish in the finals or just be like a really one of the favourites to win the competition. So yeah, I don't think there's been a great surprise, but they've definitely done well. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, no doubt, mate. So just quickly reviewing the two finals, congratulations to the Generals winning 2-1 against El Diablo. Let's obviously not forget El Diablo's unbeaten season. May not happen ever again on either console, so fabulous effort from them. And as well to Lamazia for the win, to do the treble once again. Really does speak volumes of their character. But let's go on to a new segment, Jords, and it is inspired by yourself. It's called Give Them a Lift. I'm not really sure why we're doing this, but you did say it one night, so we're pretty much just going to run through with it. It's pretty much a polite way of telling people who are just down, maybe just a little bit upset, maybe a little bit depressed, like JT was about moving house and all that sort of stuff. Just really need to just inspire people a little bit, just bring them up a notch. So, Jords, who's your... Who are you giving the lift to this week?
This week, I'm going to say it's this month, because I don't know.
This 6 months, yeah, probably it twice a year.
Whenever the next podcast
popular
is.
Demand, yeah, probably.
I'm going to give my lift to a certain PlayStation figure. Goes by the name of Godfather. His PSN is Mr._Godfather_II, for those interested.
For anyone who wants to add him, just... Yeah. Get your notes down.
Well, he wants people to add him because he's posted in free agency in the last month 8 times. In between that time, he did make a club called United Nations FC. After that, he went back to the free agency forum. But I can't personally say I've played with him before, but he stated his positions are striker, cam, centre-back, defensive midfield, right mid, left mid, goalkeeper. So he can essentially play anywhere except wing-back and centre mid. He can probably do a job at centre mid, but a 90 and above virtual pro, and he's free to play whenever. He needs a lift because he needs a club.
Yeah, it's whether he needs a club or not, I think he just needs a friend.
He does.
We need someone to be there for him.
Yes.
It's very tough being in that situation.
It's always tough. I've been there many times. Being a free agent, I mean, I can't say I've been a free agent too much, but there was times where I was, and it's always been hard to find a club sometimes, but just stick at it, Godfather. There'll be one day you'll get that message, and it'll change your life forever, mate.
Just pumping yourself up, Jords, there. Very impressive. JT, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to give a lift to, Mikey, I think, today. Poor Mikey started the season with El Diablo. I don't know exactly what went wrong there, but he didn't finish the season with them. So he missed out on their incredible season they had. And the other day, most people probably wouldn't have seen this because it got deleted pretty quick, but there was a bit of a, I don't know what to call it, an argument. It didn't last long enough to be called an argument, but there was a bit of a disagreement between himself and Azza in regards to some stuff that's been going on the forums. So, Mikey, just keep your head up. Keep doing your goalkeeping thing, because from what I've seen, you're actually a pretty decent goalkeeper despite all the crap you tend to cop on the forums. So just keep doing your thing and stay out of trouble and enjoy your time on the forums.
Yeah, well done, JT. Well spoke. My shout-out's going to go to a good friend of the Xbox side of things. He beat me in the final at Marzia, so very very good centre-back, had me in his pocket. But I'm going to give him a bit of shit now because his name is Matty W76, and if anyone read the posts after that game, and Fletch needed to put him in his place because this kid was probably the most bitter I've ever seen anyone. I'm going to go through some of the quotes. "You were pretty much robbed of the game, should be a rematch, all that sort of shit." And then someone tells Matty that he needs to take the loss. Not generalizing him, but pretty much the whole team. Just, "Matty, you need to take the loss." He responded with, "I'm taking a loss, brother. But you guys don't deserve a win." So, Matty, just go watch the Titanic in your bathrobe. Have another soak. But you're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to get over this. And we'll get through this, Matty. So, just... you need to relax a little bit. Things aren't as bad as you thought. We just need you back, right? We need you to not do this shit because the Generals did deserve that win and they played well. So let's just give them some credit next time. But let's go on to an actual debate because we're not going to be debating any of that shit Matty did. We're going to debate the 5v5 format. What do we all think on this whole thing? Carney, especially after the grand final. One of his quotes was, the sooner we get rid of this format, the better. What do you guys reckon on that?
That particular quote actually stumped me a little bit because I've been following the forums. I'll probably go on AusFIFA every day, just see what's going on, stuff like that. Not always the most active, but I do keep track of what's going on. Carney has previously told many people who are worried about the AVPL sort of, you know, not happening after this season because of the 5v5. Carney actually reassured everybody that the AVPL was still sticking around. So the 5v5 is a completely separate competition to the AVPL. So when Carney came out and said that the sooner we get rid of this format, the better, my initial thought was he's referring to the 5v5 format almost replacing the AVPL format. So I'm not too sure if that was just a miswritten thing by Carney, or if it's genuinely going to be a case of the 5v5 is now AVPL, which I hope isn't the case, but if it is, hope it goes well. But JT, I don't know if you thought the same, but I'd love to hear your opinion.
I did see that quote. I think it might have been a heat in the moment thing from Carney. I don't see APL changing. I think the APL format's going to stay as it is. It's still going to be the premier competition for most clubs. The 5v5 is an interesting concept. I think it's great that we're trying new concepts, looking at new. I think it was it F8, I believe, did the original post about it all?
Yeah, it was F8. Does like to be called F8, though. You can call him that.
So I mean, they clearly put a lot of effort into it, clearly put a lot of thought into it, research and everything they did to it. So I think it's great that they're going to give it a go. I don't know if I'm as sold on it as what some other people are, such as obviously F8 and Dean and Carney and a few others. I hope it does work out, but I don't ever see it replacing APL. I can see it running alongside APL, but never replacing.
Yeah, just sorry, F8. We're not going to be doing an F5 on this one. We won't be resetting that. You are now F8 as of now. But the real situation I'm interested in, like you said, Jules, was is this actually going to happen? Is APL the thing that we're so used to playing in multiple numbers, the big crews and all that sort of thing? Will that stick around? Because let's face it, Carney's a very smart guy. What he's done for this site is fabulous. The way we've got so many people united together, and the majority of us do really get along. It's a really good thing that we have. But in the same sense, there is that financial aspect, and sometimes you need the financial recognition to promote what you're doing and, you know, keep all these hours of work and stuff like that. And let's face it, there's a lot of, you know, endorsements and all that can go through if you're doing the 5v5 within any. It becomes more globalized. Obviously, you know, maybe gets more adversity and more numbers come back on the site. What I want to know, Anski, is in that whole situation, do you think it is a matter of, you know, giving up the loyal sort of player, like your defenders, or, you know, just role players, fullbacks, you know, even goalkeepers, who are more than likely going to get overlooked and be replaced by innies?
Yes. Yeah, so this was my biggest concern. Obviously, well, I don't know if it's obvious, but I'm a big advocate of moving forward. Like a lot of people are, like Carney is, like Dean is, to a degree. but essentially, I want to see Oz FIFA and pro clubs progress. So the fact that the 5v5 opens up the opportunity for sponsors, for financial backing, for, you know, just sort of an expansion, not only financially, but also, you know, there's going to be more teams in a 5v5 with less numbers per squad and stuff like that. So it's a bit of excitement considering, you know, we were probably going into FIFA 17 expecting, you know, 3 AVPL, State of Origin here or there, Fantasy here or there. So the 5v5 eSport as such opens up a whole new can of worms. In regards to defenders, goalkeepers, I actually am pretty big on a goalkeeper being mandatory. I think if a goalkeeper is in every single lineup, it will almost completely eliminate the EA AIDS factor, which so many people have come to hate, I guess, in FIFA. And we saw it in the final, how even though any will control the keeper taking the goal kick, I reckon probably the keeper could have done better with the shot. He did touch it. It still went in. If there's a goalkeeper in every lineup, I think, you know, we've all seen it. The goalkeeper, the AI goalkeeper, is always doing some ridiculously stupid shit here and there. So that would almost eliminate it completely. Defenders, on the other hand, it's almost just going to be down to the squad manager. That's just going to determine whether or not they sacrifice a midfield spot for a defensive spot. And as sad as it is, because so many defenders over the course of the last few years, when, you know, we've been more and more centre-backs and wing-backs getting involved in old FIFA, it's probably going to be a position that's going to be overlooked more often than not, which is unfortunate. And there's a lot of skilled centre-backs. You've got Windust, you know, Jono, just a couple of PlayStation, probably upper echelon centre-backs. But, yeah, it's probably going to be a case of they're just going to be overlooked. I know JT's a centre-back. He can also play midfield as well, which is, it's always good to have that versatility. So it'd probably be a better thing for JT to look more into. But personally speaking, like, I think the defenders are just going to get a bit dicked in the 5v5. But yeah, I think the goalkeepers need to be there, in my opinion.
Yeah, 4-7. I really do think that it's great to have these ideas, no matter what. The fact that it's already being, you know, publicised as the thing. Because in my opinion, I think it would be stupid to have these existing competitions. I can't see it realistically lasting. I think one will certainly be prioritised in terms of effort, in terms of who's looking over it. But the question I'm raising, and by no means am I implying that this is the case, but is it a small party of people who are running this agenda in the sense of this 5v5? Or is it legitimately above 50%? Is this the thing that we legitimately want to see happen? Or is it the thing that people who are very high up in AusFIFA in administration want to see happen? Because as important as they are and as great of a job as they do, is it legitimately the right thing that everyone wants to happen? Because, look, realistically, you're not going to have everyone pleased, but are more people going to be into this new concept? Or is it just a couple of people who are very high up who want to see this happen, JT?
I don't think there's any doubt there's a small group of people who are pushing it. I think that's sort of obviously the case. You're probably like, you know, 7 or 8 people that are really, really pushing it hard.
Okay.
But whether that means that the majority of the community don't want it or not, I'm not so sure. I don't think we've really sort of, I mean, I know they did some nights there where a few teams were getting on and having a bit of a go at it. WinRAR didn't get involved in those nights, but I don't think we've had a big enough sort of experience pool of it yet, I suppose, to really judge it. It's a tough one. I think the community's going to get behind it. I really do think that majority of the community will get behind it, will play it, will like it, and I think it can definitely be a success. But you are definitely right. There is definitely a small portion of people who are really pushing it hard. So I hope for their sake it works out. But if it doesn't, it's one of those, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So I think it's good that we're trying things, and who knows, this could be the next big thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely worth a risk to take in that case.
You don't want to intrude too much. So just with the small group of people pushing the 5v5, you've got to understand that small group of people probably do have those contacts above them, even, you know, that contacts with EA, the contacts with the FFA, A-League, like potential sponsors. And if those potential sponsors are saying, this is the future of like esports in FIFA, this is what we want to happen, then for that small group of people at the top, you know, Carney, Jozemac, Icy, Azard, whoever the higher up people in AusFIFA are, for me, it would be stupid for them not to venture into 5v5 if they're being told that's where the revenue is going to come and that's where the sponsorships are going to come. Because realistically, like, Carney's opened this up, taken an absolute dick ton of time to put together, to add features to the main event, to get that to run. A lot of money's come out of his pocket. And realistically, the only money he's made back from it has been the head-to-head comps and the premium subscription to the site. So there needs to be some sort of revenue there for him to make this a success. It's already, in my opinion, a success in the fact that it's brought together just a touch under 5,500 FIFA players, but obviously he'd be pushing it for more. He wants to make as much money as he can out of it, and he wants it to be successful, and if he can do both of those things at the same time, then why not? Of course he's going to launch into that sort of thing. So I think that regard, it's a positive thing. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And like you guys said before, it is really important. I do stress out to anyone who's listening that we really need to get behind whatever format does get selected. The worst thing that can happen is, you know, like verbal disagreement to the point where people just aren't united on this site. Like you said, money is probably the key factor in all this. Like you said, for Carney and for whoever it is, you know, investment of time does equate to money in a lot of senses, and you know, you sometimes need that motivation. Obviously, like you said, George, it is a success no matter what, because the amount of numbers we have on the site, it truly is something else to get all these people. You know, a lot of us, we wouldn't have spoken to each other if it wasn't for this. Certainly myself with you guys. But I think it is a really good debate. It's really interesting because it does seem sort of split on opinions. You know, as a forward, and for yourself, you normally plays forward and mid, Jorts. For us, like the selfish point of view is like, great, this works for us. It's going to be easy to get past, you know, defenders or ennies with the div 10s, especially if it's not a good ennie. If we're not talking like Raheem or anyone like anyone else who's like really quality ennie. But I really do see it, without taking sides too much, I really do see it. Like, you have to feel for the defenders and goalkeepers, because more logical managers will be taking those forward and mids. I certainly would. I would be trusting my enemies to control the whole back line and not be confused with just a random human controlling the centre backs. But it definitely is a great debate, and we'd really love to see what people think of it under the podcast in the thread below. But let's get on to the regionals, more individual sense, because we had a couple of players did very well in the Foot Champs brackets, boys.
We did. We had a very successful regional event for Oz FIFA. We've obviously heard, all of us have heard, a lot of people outside of Oz FIFA have now heard about Honourably Airborne, who makes quite a name for himself on the forums.
Did see his potential A-League sort of bracket idea there. Didn't go as well as planned, but he definitely did have a very good regional finals there, didn't he, George?
Yeah, we made the knockout. So, lower bracket semis. Xbox side, so that's class. Like, that's fifth place for him. You had Muzza, who finished fourth place in the Xbox side, which is great. You know, we've seen a lot of players get through. Solaris Samurai from PlayStation progressed to the round of 16, as did Marcus. I think I'm covering all those FIFA players.
That would be most of them, I think.
Yeah, so it was good that we had at least four players there that got through to the knockout stages. Obviously, we had, you know, big tatter players, Samir 96, Sarge FIFA, who just got unlucky on the day. Obviously, both quality players and the other players that didn't quite get past the groups, all quality players to get so far, you know, to get to Sydney and play, to win money and build a name on the international stage of FIFA. Like, not many people get the opportunity, and there was 11 players from Oz FIFA there on Saturday. So it's great for the site, it's great for them. Obviously, they'll all benefit from the experience, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get more than 11 there in Singapore a bit later down the track, and really grow the Oz FIFA name around the world.
Yeah, huge. Just talking the Oz FIFA name as well, I think it was the first time EA Sports FIFA did mention Oz FIFA in the sense of Honourably Airborne on his biography. So really massive for him and massive for the site. I mean,
yep.
Even something alone to get that sort of recognition on EA Sports, it's massive, massive thing for viewers and listeners. So, but congratulations to all those boys. Obviously, I'm not I'd be lucky to win, you know, four games out of 40 in Foot Champs. So for these boys to go that deep, especially going to the Sydney for the regionals, is good stuff. For yourself, in talking about Singapore, we do have a member of the Empire who had the Singapore League venture. How did that one go, JT?
Yeah, so I don't know how many of the forum members sort of know about it, but the Empire entered a team into the Singapore League, which is basically their version of Oz FIFA, I suppose you could say. It's quite a big league. There's 56 teams in it. So they split it up into four groups of 14. Basically, then the team that comes top of each individual league, those four play off to be the overall league winner. The top two from each group go into an Asian Champions League. So I think there's like Malaysia and there's a few other countries in that as well. So the Empire, this was their first season in it. They were in the league called the, just bring it up now, the Paladin League, which has Red Emperor in it. I think a lot of Oz FIFA people probably would have come up against Red Emperor in their time. Definitely a quality team. So throughout the season, there was 26 games. You play every team twice. It's like a home and away fixture. The Empire did really, really well in the end. They ended up finishing with 20 wins, 4 draws, and just the 2 losses. Wow. Scoring 77 goals and only conceding 11. And 5 of those 11 goals were actually conceded in the very first 2 games of the season. So it was a big effort. Unfortunately, they got pipped at the post by Red Emperor, who beat them by 1 point. So they didn't quite get to the final. But they also have a cup competition throughout the league, which starts... I'm not sure exactly when it starts, but I know because the Empire came second, they've been ranked. So they entered at the quarterfinal stage, which is on the 23rd of February. So it'd be interesting to see how they go with that. And then not long after that, season 2 will start. So the Empire is going to be entering a team into that as well to try and sort of improve on their second place and try and get into that Asian Champions League and really make a name for Oz FIFA on the world stage.
Yeah, massive. Just a question for you, George. With the whole divisions thing being based in Singapore League as well, I think, would it be wrong for me to say that divisions, you know, if they get a right structure and, you know, limitations of bans and that sort of thing to promote people playing and not leaving, do you think the organisation of divisions for this 5v5 format would be, like, a good thing, or do you think it's just unnecessary?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to say obvious because nothing's been confirmed, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be divisions in the 5v5.
Leaked information again. All right.
There's 100% confirmed divisions in the next season of ABPL. So we're definitely going down that path. Obviously, there's been a bit of a calling out for it. Probably since the start of last FIFA, I think a lot of people wanted that sort of divisions. There's been a lot of threads opened up on Oz FIFA regarding, you know, different concepts and divisions and stuff like that. I can only see it as a positive. For the most part, I think you're always going to have, you know, those teams, like we see it every season on PlayStation, on Xbox, that just don't go the distance. They quit when they're doing shit, which is a shame. I mean, as harsh it is, like, that is basically the case. I mean, there is some clubs here and there which just can't commit, which is fair enough to a regard. I mean, it'd be nicer if they didn't register as it is, if they knew they probably couldn't commit later on in the season, but... You know, stuff happens in life. Obviously, life's a bigger thing than playing FIFA. But the division concepts that have been put forward haven't been too bad. I think a lot of them need to be ironed out until they're put into effect. I know Carney and their admin team is really working hard to figure out the best way forward for it. And the same with the bans. Like, if you're not going to be able to finish a season and you just quit, like, there needs to be heavy bans. As much as Carney wants... you know, big numbers representing it in each competition, like, you'd rather have the competitions be heavily regarded with people not quitting and, yeah, I don't know, it's just, it'd be better if there was more heavier bands maybe, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess. The one thing I want to say about the Singapore League, JT, that you were in, the Asian Champions League, wouldn't it be cool if the winner or the top two placing in the ABPL qualified for that alongside the other Asian countries? And even in the cup, like, if we had a cup format running alongside the ABPL, like, imagine the winner of the cup gets to play in the Asian Champions League as well. Like, it would open so many more possibilities for ABPL and Oz FIFA. I reckon it'd be really cool.
It definitely would. And I know GG Nesta, who was running the Empire team, he's got a few contacts now within those leagues and whatnot. So I think if him and Carney got together and he put Carney in contact with the right people, I think it's something that could definitely happen. And it'll certainly add another dimension to our competitions.
I like it.
Yeah, massive, massive stuff, boys. I really do think it's great. You know, obviously the Empire, just for the fact that Oz FIFA, again, is getting more recognition. You know, they say a team like that can't go that deep. They immediately, you know, look at the team, they respect them, and then immediately hear about Oz FIFA as well. So, you know, things like that, that sort of global sort of aspect of it and just advertising really does look good for our sense. We do have State of Origin coming up right now. That's sort of what's going on right now. On Xbox, there is only four teams. It was six down to five, down to four. What are the teams looking like over there, boys?
Strong. Really, really strong, it must be said. Each state is represented very well.
No Victoria bias, George?
Yeah, look. The Victorian teams are very good. Like, we've got a lot of depth in Victoria, which is always nice. But I look at teams like Brisbane, Sydney, even New Zealand, even Perth as well. Like, they've all got really strong lineups. And I'd probably say the weakest team is probably Adelaide. Like, I don't want to be harsh. They've got a lot of top line players in Raheem, Dangerfield's there. But I think their depth's a bit questionable. But look, I think it's going to be a really tight competition. And yeah, there's been a lot of shit fighting about the State of Origin recently, though.
That's not shit talking, shit posting, and all that. JT, probably been told not to ask this question. I'm going to ask it anyways. Will you be playing this State of Origin? Can you categorically confirm?
There definitely has been some controversy with this. I will be playing when I can. I am in the Sydney FC team. Obviously, a lot of people would have seen on the forums, there was a bit of, I suppose, I don't know if you call it a shit fight, what you want to call it, but between the two Sydney teams in particular on whether trials were held and whether trials were fair and whether they should be held.
How did you go on the trials, JT?
I'll put my hand up. I was one who did not trial. I did not trial. I was asked to play by GG.
This is controversial.
I wasn't going to sign up for the competition. I was sort of umming and ahhing whether to sign up because I haven't been on FIFA much lately and sort of a bit time restricted at the moment, I suppose. But, yeah, GG had a chat with me and I decided to sign up in the end. I do know GG and... Look, he did, I don't know how many players he knew that he wanted beforehand, whether it be, you know, 8, 9, 10, I really don't know how many, but I know there was a few players he approached, and then there was a few positions that were still available which he held trials for, and I know some players were picked based on those trials. I know Delps is one come straight to mind who got picked based on his trial form. So yeah, it's obviously been a bit controversial on whether that's right or wrong or whatnot, but at the end of the day, there was sort of, wasn't anything set out, and this is how you have to pick players. So the managers have gone about it the way they thought was best, and I suppose in the end we're going to find out which strategy is the most successful one.
Just want to expand on it. The fact of the matter that people think that you have to trial to make a state team. This is a state team should be in my opinion held in higher regard than an AVPL competition. Like, essentially, it goes AVPL. Then State of Origin, then IFVPA. That should be, you know, the sort of ladder of how important, you know, representation in those leagues is. For me, a lot of people are underestimating how important actually making your state team is. I know back in, might have been FIFA 15, it was a shit fight getting into the state team. There was so much quality, but there was only one team representing each state. And there were trials, don't get me wrong, a lot of people did trial, but it was always going to be that sort of, you know, core of 15 players that were going to represent the state, and that's completely based off their performances in different competitions, you know, AVPL, Fantasy. They've always been sort of the higher regarded players in that respect, and that's essentially how it should be. They've made a name for themselves in different competitions, the AVPL specifically, probably the one that you make your name for the most and is held in the highest regard, you know, prior to this 5v5 starting. But realistically, like, if you can prove yourself in the AVPL, why should people that trial better than you, but essentially are not better players than you, have a priority of getting into the state team ahead of the players that over time have proven to be good enough to represent not only their state, but even, you know, their country as well. So
I'd argue that.
Yeah.
I think I would. I think I would argue that just primarily because if it's based on trials and you have your whole team there, Like, this is specifically if you have your whole team there. There might be players who you might have your two best forwards. Let's just say there's, like, for Xbox, let's just say there's, you know, Fark and Emery playing together and they're the two best forwards. But they may not necessarily link up well together. So you can go by assumptions, you can go by stats and all that, but if someone's trialing well and they're a good facilitator or they're just a good finisher and they link up with someone, or that could be in the same sense in midfield or defense, I think you almost feel obliged as a manager to give them that spot despite what the other person may have done, because you need to make the team that works together and gels together. And there's only so much you can do. If you've been killing it in trials and it's not, or tryouts or whatever it is, and it's not just a fluke, if you've backed it up on numerous occasions, I really don't see why you just shouldn't get the spot.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be, but, like, obviously, if you've proven yourself over different trial sessions, yeah, you do deserve a spot in the team. But let's say you have, you know, Emery and Fark, and then you have that sort of unheard of, unproven striker that comes in, has really good link up.
DB29, yep.
with Emery, for example, but Fark didn't trial. Now, Fark's obviously a proven striker in Xbox, and he's proven why he's one of the best strikers, you know, on that side.
But he's on El Polo Loco, so we won't go into that too much. I'm sure PlayStation people who are listening are just fucking losing their shit laughing.
But let's, like, on Xbox, let's say, like, you know, those two are there, but Fark didn't trial. Does that essentially mean that the manager of that club opts not to choose Fark because this other person trialed good and Fark didn't trial at all, but Fark has proven?
You might have to go by loyalty. That one we could debate for hours. Look, long story short, we both trialed for our states. We were fortunate to get in. JT didn't trial, but he's too good not to be put in, and he's started a huge fight on the forum. So we'll leave it as that. Before we head off for this podcast, guys, and by head off, I mean, like, no one responds to us, and we just don't talk for, like, 6 months, and then we try and find all three of us on a spend hunt to do it again. I just want to have our predictions for the year. It's probably going to be a while before we do another one of these. What do we think is going to happen this year on Oz FIFA? But it has to be a big call. It can't just be like Dean's going to hashtag BITW when he scores a goal or something like that. It has to be something that's actually legitimate. I'll let you start off, Schultz.
This is a big call. It's probably not going to happen, but...
stand by.
Imagine. All right, so in the regional events... on Saturday, so yesterday, Football Federation Australia was in attendance, and they announced that in the coming weeks they have some big news to share. So obviously this is FIFA related, esport related, to do with, you know, the national team or the A-League or something like that. Now the 5v5 concept has been told to, you know, Carney, Icy, Jazzo as the way forward for esports. Now imagine if the FFA was trying to set up a 5v5 competition with 10 teams all within the A-League with, you know, 6 or 7 players in each squad. Those 6 or 7 players are assigned to, you know, one of the 10 A-League teams, and then they verse each other in correspondence with the real-life A-League fixtures. So, and that's run through Oz FIFA.
That would be something.
Yeah, that would be something. Now
it's,
I know,
a really positive way of looking at it.
It is very optimistic. It's a big call because I'm not sure if it's going to happen. But just imagine if Oz FIFA gets approached and says, and after the 5v5 competition is held, it's successful, and they say, we want you to make up 10 teams. It can be from players from those states. It can be from whoever, like your opinion, Carney or whatever you want. But we want you to bring together 10 teams, a team for each A-League team to play and be as an official pro club competition of Australia. Like an official, like it's on FFA website, it's on A-League's website. You know, they just, like, I reckon it'd be sick.
Yeah, my dream would be, just jump in there for a second, my dream would be to be in one of those games, and then you have the sport page say a fantastic win for this club, and then some really bogany sporty guy comments underneath that saying, why is this considered a real sport? Like, I've always wanted to be at that level where it gets to the point that it just pisses off some random guy who only watches real soccer or footy, and just, it just really pisses him off. But that's a great idea. And
Essentially, it's professional pro clubs. That's what it is.
If this is the famous Aidensky rumour mill where he sort of leaks information, then I don't know. So we're going to have to read into that anyway. So I'm going to probably ask you after this if this is real or not. But you got one, JT, for us?
I've got three, actually.
Ooh,
it'll be all short and sweet. The first one is that Jordan's prediction won't come true this year. that'd be my number one prediction. I think it's a great idea, as much as I think it'll be great, I don't think it's going to happen. My second prediction will be that the winner of the next PlayStation APL will be a team that doesn't exist yet. I don't think it's going to be any teams from this current APL. I'm going to throw that one out there. And
you
my
and GG,
third prediction.
You and GG Nesta making a team?
Well, that's what my Windrar boys keep telling me. my third prediction will be that by the end of the year, AusFIFA is going to expand and it'll include, maybe it's going to include Singapore or maybe Malaysia, or I think it's going to expand and, allow, I think Carney's going to set up to allow for maybe some Asian countries to sort of work off what we're doing. That'd be my third prediction.
That's a good one. Much better than George.
What's your prediction?
My one... I'm getting a little bit teary saying this one. My prediction is that APL we just played is probably the last time we'll ever play. I think. I genuinely don't know if we'll ever play one again. Or if it will, we'll only be a couple of teams. I really do think this 5v5 format, like the way Carney's spoken about it or the way they've spoken about it, like it really is going to be prioritised. It's the one that's going to have all the effort in it. And I can't see it holding up. If it does, it's maybe got a season left. And my other prediction is I think Xbox will be done by the end of the year. I think there will be no APL. I don't think there will be anything on Xbox. It will only be PlayStation. Obviously, there's a lot of energy based trying to manage over both of the consoles. I really can't see Xbox, the way it is right now, lasting. So many quality Xbox players are heading to PlayStation now. Myself, I may have to make a move. But it really is, just PlayStation has completely taken over. And I can't see Xbox lasting. I really can't. Yeah.
Controversial.
But that's all we have for this one, guys. Just before we have that negative music shit going on, we would like to thank everyone for listening. We would like to thank JT and Aidensky, two men who I could never do this without. Appreciate it as always, boys, and I'm sure I'll hear from you guys in 6 months.
It was great to be here again, Spence.
Yep, thanks for having me yet again.
Appreciate it, guys. For all you guys, and once again, thanks to La Pazzo Pizza, boys. So long, farewell, and we will hear from you again another time soon. Goodbye.